food. The news and the reviews.
We've got Monica with us from Do in Dubai. Monica, welcome back.
Thank you so much. There's never a dull moment on the ticket, is there? You don't know what you're going to expect. It's a very modern Dubai. What do? We talk about Eccles cakes, which from Lancashire.
And Mark's not even here, and I feel like he would really like talking about Eccles cakes.
He would relate to those, potentially. And you're obviously not Indian, either of you, because I don't know how many Indian people would not have a microwave, because we've always got leftover food, and the easiest way to reheat your food, like a plate of it, a little bit of this, a little bit of that, a little bit of that, just cover it nicely, heat it up in the microwave. Otherwise, you've got all those different saucepans or one saucepan.
Do you have a microwave?
I do, but I don't use it that often. No, I mean, I do have a lot of leftover food, as you mentioned, curries.
How do you heat it up?
I put it on the
frying pan.
I put it in the frying pan and I heat it up the regular way, and I feel like it adds more flavor, especially when it's curry, because it sort of like blends the oil in again, and I feel like it tastes better. And I don't like it microwave.
More washing up and... If you've got four things to heat up and you do it one at a time, then the first thing will be cold. But anyway,
the other reason I got rid of my microwave, I've got to tell you this, because this might change your mind on it, Monica, was I saw this little girl had done an experiment at school. She's going to be a genius, this girl.
She's trying to dry her uniform.
No. Brilliant experiment.
Okay.
Like really, really good. So what she did was she took some water and she boiled some on the hob and let it cool down. She put the other in the microwave and let it cool down, right? She then took seedlings and planted them. And she used the water from each one for the respective seedlings. And the seedling who was being watered by the microwave cooled water died every single time. And the other one grew. And I just thought...
Isn't that because they say something about radiation or something like don't, if you're pregnant, don't stand in front of the
Yeah, there's all sorts of things. But it could be she just didn't test the temperature of the water because maybe the microwave warm water had cooled.
No way.
But yeah, no, I'm with you. If in an ideal world, I would also just chuck out the microwave.
And I also think
if you haven't got a very expensive one, you shouldn't have the same one for very long. So I've kind of gone through about 3, 4, and 10 years.
I see you should get your microwaves today. Don't need them.
Tempting
you can live
thought.
Without them.
Tempting thought.
If I can do it, everyone can do it. And if Schutz can do it as well. So we aren't going to keep talking about microwaves, although I could keep talking about it, but we have to talk about iftars because there are some brilliant ones.
They are. It's your last week, guys.
Yeah.
And very good opportunity, so don't miss it, to go along to those ones. You thought, I wanted to get around to it. Never sort of got around to it, but last week and weekend Eid is coming up, so I think Saturday is probably the last day. But at the end of last week's show, we didn't have time, because we didn't want to rush it, to talk about, which it was an iftar. They've got a fantastic initiative going on, and it also fits in with our theme for today, which is actually regional cuisine, iftars that focus on regional cuisine. So I think we're going to talk about this restaurant, and I wonder if you can tell what it is by listening to this music. Think about what this title rhymes with.
Yeah, there's been a lot of debate over whether this is the right song to use for this iftar. You decide. So a little old place where we can get together.
Yeah, and the emphasis on is Love Shack. So it's the shack part. What? Any ideas? Anyone? Michelle?
Pick me.
Michelle.
Is it Grub Shack?
It's Grub Shack. You're right. Yes, absolutely. So Love Shack, Grub Shack. And we have to thank Mark in absentia for that, the idea for that clip. Because when we first spoke about it, I think it was sort of back in January or something. He said, hey, we should have played that, like Love Shack, Grab Shack. So thank you, Mark, and I'm sorry you're not here, but maybe you'll listen to that on
Jocelyn
the podcast.
Jocelyn got it as well, 4001.
Well done.
She guessed it.
Okay, well done, Jocelyn, to you. So has anyone been to Grub Shack? Anyone know what kind of food it serves?
Nope. When I think of grub, I think of like stuff you eat with your hands.
Chips.
Stuff you eat with your hands, yes, you could, because it's actually an Indo-Chinese restaurant and a Goan restaurant. So just to remind our listeners, the owners... which I think we're going to hear from Gemma in a minute, actually, started out life in Goa. And they used to regularly do this journey from Mumbai to Goa. And then all the little restaurants that you have along the way are very typically what we'd call Indo-Chinese. So it's Chinese food that's Indianified in some way or the other. So they said one day we're going to kind of come up with a little joint, a little grub shack, if you like, that's going to serve exactly or recreate the kinds of meals that they had when they were younger. And I think they've just done that. But this Ramadan during Iftar, they've actually got a really, really worthy initiative. And I think we're going to hear from Gemma just now, who's going to explain a little bit more about that.
Well, since this is the year of giving, we just felt that it would be nice to bring a smile on people's faces. So we just came up with this idea as to when you dine with Grub Shack, we give back something to the people that are in need, just so that we can make them smile and bring some sort of happiness into them.
Okay, and what is it you're giving and how does
it
work?
Well, we're giving a pack of a chicken biryani with a little of raita, a juice and a water with some dates.
Okay, and how does someone become eligible to get this?
Well, whichever diner comes in, we accumulate that number of coupons and we give it the next day so that the people that actually deserve it eat it during iftar. For people that really don't get anything, we go and hand it over at a mosque or any of the laborers that we see that are seated, you know, at labor, at building construction, we give it off to them.
Yeah, lovely.
I think so, yeah. And they've also got a sort of box on the Do It in Dubai blog, and I think it's on your blog as well. There's a box with a label on it, and it says donated by. So you can actually put the name of the diner if you want. So it's per table. If it's a table of two, table of four. And I think if it's tables of six or more, then they'll give two packs per table. So I think that's a really worthy initiative. They're doing that during iftar. There aren't any set iftars. You just order a la carte. And I think that is also works better for some people, because some people might just say, oh, I want some of that finger-licking chili crab. It's Gemma's special chili crab. So they might just sort of want to order a massive portion of that. We, of course, had lots more dishes. Ones that I recommend is the bhindi nurani, which is actually not on the menu. You have to ask for it, but they'll bring it to you, which is a crispy bhindi.
Do you have a secret that's not on a menu, don't you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, well, now you know. So now everybody who's listening to the
show
knows.
How do you find out these secrets on the menu?
Yeah, how do you find out, Monica?
Well, again, it's going back to that podcast. And I think they said something about something bhindi. And I said, oh, is that the crispy bhindi? And I think they kind of weren't properly listening. And they said yes. And of course, what came wasn't crispy bhindi. And I said, I don't want that. He said, oh, you want bhindi nurani? And I said, oh, yeah, sure. So he brought me the right thing. And I said, well, why didn't you bring that? And he said, because it's not on the menu.
So they cooked it for you anyway. That's pretty good.
They did, yeah. So good on them. And the Goan Rashado prawns, I highly recommend. And everyone in our party liked them. Quite spicy. Really, really good food. Goan Indo-Chinese. Have the burnt veg garlic noodles. Really delicious.
Ooh.
And then to cool down your sort of hot, fiery palate at Grub Shack, you must try the kulfi. They do a deal with this concession called Kulfilicious. And there's a sort of little auto rickshaw, those scooter things, and you can sit in and have your picture taken if you want, and have all different flavours of kulfi. Does anybody know any good flavours of kulfi? What was your favourite, Shruti?
I've been to Kulfilicious, and I do have a photo behind.
Oh, there you are. So they've got one of these in Grub Shack as well. And what's your favourite kulfi flavour, Shruti?
I always stick to the basic, and that's called the malai.
Malai, yeah.
Yeah, and I always pick that. It's just delicious. And malai is basically the frothy part of the milk. The cream.
With nuts and kind of caramelized before the point of burning. And it's just a classic flavor that you get in lots of Indian desserts. I also like pistachio.
Yeah.
I like mango. Again, two classic flavors. Mm. And I also like a flavor called chiku. Anyone know what that is? You probably know.
Yeah.
Chiku.
I'm thinking, I don't know why, but peppermint?
No.
Mint.
I don't know. I looked this up once.
That's,
and it's
similar to
No. It's nothing minty or spearminty or mentholy or anything like that. It's a particular kind of another sort of quite delicate aromatic Indian fruit. Most like a plum, a quite sweetish plum, but not as tart as a plum, like a mango-y plum. And it's called chiku, and you can get ice cream from a place called Govinda's. They serve it. And Kulfilicious as well. So try that.
I am interested to know what it looks like inside Grub Shack.
It's actually quite contemporary. So their daughter, Marushka, actually helped design the interiors of the thing. It's quite contemporary. They've got a beautiful, very modern grey wall. And we've got a really nice photo of us sitting on a sofa in front of that. They've got a little stage in the corner where, obviously not now because it's Ramadan, but they have musical ensembles and get-togethers and things. And
is it big?
Yeah. Is it
covers?
Big? It's not a tiny little shacky sort of place, but they did start like that in Sharjah. So I don't know how many covers you'd say it was off the top of my head. But
and
no,
is the original still in Sharjah?
I think it is. Yes, I think it is. But this, and anyone know where it's located, the one in Dubai?
I want to say GLT.
Nope.
It's always testing at this time of the week. I'm going to go for Business Bay.
No, it's actually in Healthcare City, which is an interesting location.
Very.
It's done very, very well. They've actually got doesn't have an alcohol license, but they've got a very beautiful bar area. And I've got a lovely picture. I mean, you take so many and you think, oh, how many can I publish? Where? Of some limes on this bar with this grey wall behind. Are you getting me a little bit?
Yep,
so it's completely. Sort of modern interiors, not too modern or pretentious, but a place you'd want to go to sit. But then the food that you eat is also not pretentious, but kind of better than just street level food is what I would say.
And price-wise?
Price-wise, I'd say depending obviously on what you had to eat. I mean, obviously the crabs and things are probably on the higher end, but oh my goodness, I think under 200 dirhams for two, you know, if you ordered sensibly, 200, 220. And again, if you sort of keep adding on with fancy drinks and things, you can kind of add on. But a couple of spicy dishes followed by some kulfi and maybe a molecular tea or something. Try. Good. Yeah.
All right,
not too expensive. Also, they're open if you can't get there in the evening during Ramadan from 12 for dine-in, for discreet dining-in. So if you're in the area, then you can just pop in for a quick lunch.
Okay, so that is Grubshacht, Healthcare City. We're going to come back. Michelle has been out to try the highest iftar, I think, that you could find in Dubai.
Food. The news and the reviews.
We've got Monica here from Do in Dubai. She has been out to try lots of these iftars, but also Michelle thought, I'm going to go out and I'm going to try a few of these so I can tell everyone about them. Where have you been?
Yeah, I've been to the world's highest restaurant, which is Atmosphere.
It's opposite my house.
It is? I didn't know it was the world's highest restaurant, but it is.
Me neither. Only until the tower is built, and then it'll be higher than that. But for the moment, it was probably the highest restaurant.
They'll put a restaurant up there?
I'm sure they will. It's Dubai. They have to.
Yeah. Okay, so this iftar is described as thus. This Ramadan, make your way through the chef's special four-course menu. Unlike a typical iftar, the menu includes a selection of international hot and cold appetizers such as spiced aubergine, rustic soups like wild mushroom, pan-seared sea bass, lamb rack, gnocchi, and desserts include tonka bean ice cream, lemon meringue, and smoked chocolate fondant. So I got a chance to speak to the executive chef. His name is Christopher Graham, and he once actually won an award for being a young chef, one of the best young chefs. So he's a young guy. And this is the ethos of the restaurant.
We try to take the best produce that we can from around the world and try and serve it in an interesting and novel way, not too funky. We try to pay attention to like classical ideologies and try and give something that's a little bit interesting, perhaps thought-provoking, something that can, you know, initiate a conversation at the table. So people are not necessarily coming to eat food and, you know, just chatting about something else, that the food kind of takes center stage in their experience and that, you know, they can kind of discuss it and be interested about what they're being served and, you know, makes them think a little bit more about the produce.
Yeah, and it actually does. When it comes to the table, I think he did a good job of making you discuss what you got in front of them. My pick would definitely be the appetizers, and that doesn't normally happen for me.
Oh, but I always go for appetizers.
No, I absolutely love these. So there was this beautiful beetroot mint labneh. Did I say it right?
Yep.
Monica, yeah, thank you. Also the spiced aubergine with goat curd cremeux. Was that one right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Home smoked salmon, avocado mousse, pickled cucumber. Absolutely stunning appetizer.
Am I right in saying these all sound quite healthy?
Yeah,
they sound very healthy, but not vegan enough for you, Steph, if you're still vegan.
No, they are vegan enough for me.
They're vegan enough for you because they don't have faces.
Yes.
Right, okay, I get that kind of vegan.
They are definitely options dairy for you. The gnocchi, the beetroot, labneh, all that stuff. Yeah, oh, and the spiced aubergine, you can have that as well.
Yep.
And also loved the lemon meringue. The chef did this crazy thing with these little passion fruit, like little ball things that he puts on the top. Absolutely delicious. The only thing that I would say about it is the sheer amount of food. Literally, they had to like roll me down the stairs. There was five starters, appetizers.
So a lot of stairs to roll you down as well.
There were so many of them.
From the highest building in the world. Yeah.
What is it on the 123rd floor?
Yeah.
I got really dizzy. Four mains between two people and also a whole array of desserts. Literally had to roll me out of there. But absolutely stunning. But it is iftar, right? You're breaking your fast, so you are going to be quite hungry.
So it's not a buffet, Michelle. You choose four mains, two desserts.
No, it's a set menu, and
okay,
you just get it all.
Gosh.
You get
no choice
to be done.
An awful lot of food, right?
Yeah, it's a lot of food. So that was the only thing. So it's a super fancy one. And I think the thing with Atmosphere, it's one of those places that I feel you, if you lived in Dubai, you have to tick it off the list. Have you been to the highest restaurant in the world? Have you been to Atmosphere? Because it is utterly incredible to look down on these buildings and go, oh my gosh, that's the address. It's so huge and it's so far away.
Yeah, you know? I love doing that.
So there's
it's also good to take guests to somewhere like that as well.
I totally agree. Yeah, it's something. And make sure that you book in advance so you can get a window seat. Because that's quite special.
Yeah, people want the view.
So $475 for that one. So it's a pricey one.
Yeah.
But it is a special one. I did another iftar. Coco Kitchen. It's fairly new. And it's... I don't know if you've heard of it.
Yeah, where is Coco Kitchen?
City Walk.
I love City Walk.
Yeah, City Walk is absolutely awesome.
There's so much to explore in City Walk.
I know. I wish I lived nearer, actually. Because all the different places there are doing different things. There's one called Dragonfly or something like that as well. I haven't got to that one.
Yeah. Well, it's situated in this kind of this corner in City Walk where every single restaurant or every single thing is about chocolate. Mm. And it's really beautifully done. I got to speak to the head chef there. His name is James MacDonald, and he's a bit of a cocoa expert, absolute expert. And he talked to me about the ethos of his restaurant.
Maras had an idea of bringing a restaurant that Dubai has never seen before. And, you know, obviously we are the only chocolate restaurant in the whole Gulf. No one else does anything what we do here, because we actually use chocolate as a savoury ingredient. And that's what I try teaching people. You know, it's not like here's a Mars bar and here's a steak. We actually go and, you know, we crush the cocoa nibs. We make our own glazes. We make our own marinades from scratch. The fully fresh restaurant with the fresh cocoa nibs, with the meat, with the fresh meat and the fresh fish that we use is, you know, that's what makes Coco Kitchen here. And it's sharing concept as well. So with the sharing concept, it's, you know, it's more family oriented. It's very more relaxed. You know, I've worked my whole life, you know, yelling and screaming at people and, you know, perfection, perfection, perfection. And, you know, sometimes it's nice just to have like a few dishes on the table where you all get in and share it. So it's not, so that's where that ethos of this restaurant is.
So using chocolate as a savoury?
Yeah.
Using cocoa or chocolate?
Cocoa, so cocoa nibs and, you know, using cocoa in every single way you can think of. He talked about glazes there.
What's the difference in using cocoa and using chocolate?
Depends at will. Chocolate is chocolate is chocolate. So you, I mean...
For instance,
as we
when
know,
I make
very
a chilli,
no, so
I'll
you've
put
got,
chocolate in.
If you've got cocoa, if you've got chocolate with a very high percentage of cocoa solid, then it's more on the cocoa side. So some of those really nice cakes you get, which I call them kind of quite adult, grown-up chocolatey taste, have got very, very high percentage of cocoa solids in them.
Yeah, that's
but if
the
you're
chocolate
eating,
I use for a chilli.
I think you mentioned at one point a Cadbury's cream egg or something on the somewhere. There was a whole thing about you eating Cadbury's cream eggs. So that wouldn't Probably. Obviously have high percentage of cocoa in, and I don't know how you'd cook with that. Somehow. So I think that is probably the difference. And like Michelle is talking about the cocoa nibs, I did a couple of recipes with those on my Instagram as well. Good to use those too. But I think better for you than chocolate.
Yeah. So I want to talk a little bit about the design of the restaurant, which is really cool because it's like a chocolate factory in there. If you look up and you look at the ceiling, there are all these sort of golden pipes going everywhere. And it's
are they made of copper?
Yeah, so it's supposed to look like the chocolate is going through there. Also on the wall, they've collected all these authentic old chocolate molds from all over the world.
Love it.
So from different occasions, so you know, that your Easter egg or your, you know, whatever it may be, and they're all sort of hanging from the walls as the decoration. And the final thing which is really cool about this place is you'll notice the lights are hanging from sort of pulleys, because back in the day in these chocolate factories, they had problems with rats. Right, so what they found is rats can't jump up, rats can only jump down apparently. So they used to hang the chocolate bags or the cocoa or whatever from these pulleys so that the rats would never ever get to them. So they've used these things. And also a little tip, go there's a sort of a container there. Ask him the story about it. I'm not going to tell you. You have to go there. Ask him the story about the container. They have a big container there. Ask them about that. So the food. I loved the lamb. I don't know how they put the chocolate or the cocoa nibs in there because I didn't taste it, but it was absolutely amazing. Lamb on shakshuka. That's how they kind of, he mixed the Middle Eastern thing into it. Also, I have to mention the desserts. Oh my goodness, he made this light little cubes of date cake that you dipped in a caramel fondue, salted caramel fondue, and then you passed out because it's so delicious. And then they added on top of that, they also had this chocolate brownie. And now everybody you know is always making a chocolate brownie, but this one is absolutely stunning. So a lot of things on the menu here. Chocolate cauliflower soup, Asian baby mix, leaf salad, grilled chicken with lemon chili marinade, the lamb shoulder that I mentioned, brownie cheesecake with, oh, the brownie has little cheesecake bites on top as well. Whoa, amazing. And then the date cake with caramel fondue. How much, Monica, do you think this one is?
Well, it's City Walk. It's not atmosphere, so it's not going to be four anything. I actually don't think it's going to be three anything either. It's going to be potentially around 200-ish.
129 dirhams.
All right, okay. 129. For how many courses?
One, two, three, four,
eight.
Well, there's lots of, eight different things coming
up. Yeah, they
give
you little snippets of,
Okay.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, I really like that one.
Food. The news and the reviews.
Monica's here from Do in Dubai. Now, Ishmael, you've got us arguing a bit in the studio here because you've texted in, any suggestions for takeout dark chocolate desserts? I'm a health fanatic, but I've got a sweet tooth. And I was like, yeah, where can you go and get one from? And Monica said, well, any hotel. And I'm like, no, but not a hotel, like a specific takeout place. She said, it's a bit of an odd thing to want as a takeout. But I get it. If you are a dessert person, why wouldn't you just want a takeaway dessert?
Yeah, no, I understand what he's talking about. I mean, nothing springs to mind completely at the moment, but often in hotels they have these counters. So for people who are staying there and they don't want to have a meal at the hotel, they've got some time or they've come in and it's kind of adjusting to time zone, you know, they have these like little coffee shops with counters, and then you can go there and take away a croissant or a really good dessert. So I think many of the hotels, I tell you where, the St. Regis Hotel in Al Haptor City has got a gorgeous, the brasserie bit in the front.
Yeah, another one you mean.
Beautiful display, yeah, sort of in behind the main restaurant.
And you
of
can
a
just
counter,
pop in.
French desserts, and you can go in and precisely
near reception.
Get those things. Yeah, and grab your beautiful dessert and take it away. So there's an option for
that
him.
That could
and
be.
I
do
think
you know
there are many
what?
Hotels like that.
That could be a great gap in the market, couldn't it? I know we've got delivery and we've got all sorts of things like that, but just a website that only delivers desserts. That could really work, I think.
I just pulled out my Zomato app because that's really good for takeout, and I searched dark chocolate. And three from KCAL came up.
KCAL's
so
good.
That could be an option. Dark chocolate mousse, chocolate banana square, which is a banana and carrot cake with dark chocolate topping. And there's also the guilt-free chocolate brownie. So there's some options. You just have to pull out your app.
Ishmael, hopefully that helps. Now, we are going to a completely different kind of iftar, Monica.
We are indeed. Yeah, we have a little bit of music for this, which is coming in a minute, I think. Okay, so a lot of people recognise that intro to, I'd say, is an iconic song. I mean, lots of sort of Indian, Asian people will know about that. We came to Dubai in 2006. Every single taxi driver was playing that song. I think we all know that lots of sort of soundtracks of Hindi movies come of soundtracks come from Hindi movies, and that was from which film? Does anyone know, Shruti? Film was called
Funna.
The film was called Funna. Yeah. So it won't be a kind of difficult question for any of our sort of Asian, Pakistani, Indian listeners. And the reason that I picked this song is because the next iftar that we're going to talk about is a fascinating one. It was called it caught my eye because it was a Dahelvi iftar. And I thought, oh, Dahelvi, is that a sort of some word I wasn't familiar with? Or is it really just what we think it sounds like? It sounds a little bit like Delhi.
Mm-hmm.
So it is. So the food from this Dahelvi iftar comes specifically not just from Delhi, which we know is sort of in kind of northern India. It comes from Old Delhi, or Purani Delhi is what Old Delhi is known as. So if you go to YouTube and play this track that we're playing, it's actually picturized, it's set against lots of iconic buildings in Old Delhi. It's a particular area. So the food that we're going to talk about was actually it started life, if you like, from the sort of alleys and lanes and byways of Old Delhi, particularly where the Jama Masjid is, which I think is sort of the oldest mosque in India, built in 1656, something like that, by Emperor Shah Jahan, who we obviously connect to the Taj Mahal. And because he was there, you've got sort of that Mughal influence, you've got the northern Indians, the Punjabis who are already there, the Kashmiris as well, and Rajasthanis also. So all the food influences of all the people that were there to build this mosque kind of got incorporated in all the dishes. So Dhiram Huck, we know that he's a very, very accomplished chef from the Oberoi Hotel in Business Bay, has come up with a very, very good Dahelvi iftar that's available at their very smart Indian restaurant called the Ananta. And that's what I tried a couple of nights ago. And I think I captioned that on the Doing Dubai Instagram as saving the best till last. And boy, it was the best that I've had out of quite a few iftars over the last few weeks. Loved it. Thought it was fantastic. Really good.
It is a really smart restaurant, but you may be surprised to hear it is also a restaurant where I've managed to get in my trainers.
Oh.
Hey, and I love that when a smart restaurant lets you in new trainers.
They're very accommodating. They're a very accommodating restaurant. I needed some paracetamol. I wasn't feeling very well. They went out of their way and they got me that. It was kind of family time, iftar. There was a couple of screaming kids. I mean, we didn't say anything. They were fine with it. And you know, I sort of like all my menus. And I said, could you please get me a photocopy of the menu? Because I never know what Steph is going to ask. And if I've got my hard copy of the menu, it's a lot easier. And he said, I tell you what, ma'am, why don't I just give you this one here? And he took out the piece of paper from the folder and gave me that. So you know you're in good hands. I mean, very, very, very good. Fantastic food. You can have different choices depending on whether you want a vegetarian or a non-vegetarian.
Because whenever I've been to this restaurant, what I normally end up with is a dish of smaller dishes.
Mm-hmm.
And it's you can get a taste of everything,
really. Absolutely. Well, that's definitely his trademark, and that's part of the menu. But the starter thing was very, very interesting because we know people are fasting. It's Ramadan and they need something sort of immediately. So we of course weren't fasting, but we got this sort of long platter and on it was a samosa. Completely, we all know what a samosa is. It was a vegetarian samosa, but it also had and some dates, dried fruit. It also had what everyone would recognise as a fruit tart, quite a large fruit tart with sort of raspberries and mango on it. And I thought, whoa, why are you giving us this? And they said, because you need something sweet, but the cream, it wasn't the normal creme pâtissière that you'd have in a normal kind of fruit tart. It was a much lighter cream. But we said, would you mind just taking it away and bringing it back at dessert time for us? But I think if you're breaking your fast, that's very interesting. A warm samosa and a little fruit tart to have immediately, like a mini, mini, mini meal before you take your time and carry on with the rest of the meal.
I also believe very interesting. You can judge a place on its samosa. My dad would drive us about an hour when he was having friends around back in the day when I was a child. He'd drive us about an hour to the right part of town that did samosas and go in and buy them and drive back.
He didn't want Eccles cakes. He just went for samosas.
No.
Right. Okay.
So he taught me from an early age that samosas are really important. They have to be good ones.
Yeah, it's hard to make good samosas.
Was it a good one?
It was fantastic. And the beginning of a very, very good meal, I have to say.
We had a lady in Zimbabwe who lived down the street from us. Her name was Mrs. Siddick, and she introduced us to these, we called them samosas. I'm probably saying it wrong.
Yeah.
We didn't know what this was, but we're like, whoa. And we just hoped that she would make us more samosas. We used to go past her house on the bike and go, hello, Mrs. Siddick. And she wouldn't give us, and we'd go back again.
That's pretty adorable. Isn't it?
And she also introduced us to chapatis. Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness. And sometimes she would send them along with her. She had a garden boy, and we'd see him come walking down the street, and we'd be like, yay, samosas. Because only she could make them. You
know? Well, luckily now, Michelle, you're in Dubai, so you can easily get samosas. I don't know where the best ones are. Maybe that's a challenge our listeners can come up with. Where are the best
please.
Takeaways? Samosas or eaten samosas that you can find, but the one at the Oberoi is fantastic.
They do take on a challenge, our listeners. Sugarmoo.com, there is a website and an app that only delivers desserts. There you go. That's
I've
called.
Heard of Sugarmoo, yeah, huh? I've heard of them. Yeah,
never heard of that before.
I don't know about only dark chocolate desserts though.
Manoj is saying, which restaurant is this that we're talking about for the samosas?
Oh, for the samosas. Well, the one we're talking about now is the Ananta. It's the Indian restaurant, which is the signature restaurant at the Oberoi Hotel in Business Bay. They've got this fantastic iftar, which is all focusing on the Dahelvi cuisine, which is cuisine that comes from Old Delhi. You can choose between a vegetarian or a non-vegetarian menu. I actually opted for the non-vegetarian menu. A couple of sort of standout dishes here, again, very, very regional, if you like, are this thing called Haleem. Does anyone know what Haleem is? Shruti's nodding.
Yeah. I want to say cheese.
No. No, nothing like halloumi. Haleem.
You can see how I was
different.
Getting there, though, can't you?
Yeah, I can. But
you're
not.
A vegetarian, so you probably won't get it.
For the moment, for this week.
Fish. All right, Monica.
Sorry.
Judgy. No. It's not fish either.
No,
it in that case, isn't. I'm going to say cauliflower.
Michelle?
Oh,
any advances on cauliflower? It's a non-vegetarian menu at an old Indian cuisine iftar. At the Oberoi.
I'd say it's like a gazelle.
Mutton?
So yeah, you're on the right lines with mutton. So Shruti, you're going to elaborate on that for us. What is Haleem?
It's this North Indian dish and it's a particular part of the meat and it's cooked in this, in a very traditional North Indian way. It's the Mughlai way.
Yeah.
So it's basically...
Which part of the meat?
I don't actually know. I didn't know about that. So it's news to me. But it was very, very tender. Very, very, no bones in it. It's almost like a porridge because they combine it with lots and lots of different grains. So you've got wheat and not exactly bulgur wheat, but all different sorts of grains together with the meat. And it's forms a very, very nutrient-dense
sounds
porridge.
Filling.
Very filling, but also very... healthy and very substantial for you if you've been fasting all day. So you can kind of have a little bowl of this, and like you say, this is served as one dish as part of many of them on a beautifully presented plate. It's got a fresh banana leaf on it as well, so that's kind of like a classic thing that they're doing there. The chicken was amazing. It was almost like a slightly smoked chicken, like a chicken tikka. It was very, very good with a kind of onion tomato gravy. And then they did something very, very interesting with lotus roots. Remember we were talking about wokkyo, Michelle, with
the noodles.
The noodles, yeah, yes. Wokkyo. But we spoke about the lotus root crisps that we really, really liked.
Ah, yes.
And I said, oh, it's an Indian vegetable. Do you remember, Shruti? And like we were laughing, thinking, oh, God, who on earth would want to eat bhain or bhis or whatever you call it in Hindi? But this was delicious. So he's done something fantastic with lotus root stem, again, as part of the vegetarian thing. And I think that probably comes from the Rajasthani, North Marwari side of food as well. He's incorporated that as well. They do this amazing sort of shorba of a soup that they start with. It's yellow lentil soup, tempered with traditional Indian spices, flavoured with Kashmiri apples. So they've got a tiny bit of kind of chopped up apples in a lentil fritter in the bottom of your beautiful white bowl. And he comes and pours over this perfectly spiced dal lentil soup. How much do we think it was?
I am going to guess, because I have been to this restaurant before, and it is smart, as you say.
It is.
325 dirhams is my guess.
Any advances on that?
I'll give it a 350.
Mm-hmm. Shruti?
Oh, I'm going to say less than 300.
Yeah, roughly. Any ideas?
295.
180 dirhams.
Oh.
You know what?
Wow.
I think just call them up now. Say, Monica from Doing Dubai on the ticket said, I must try this. I'm only going to try one iftar. You will not be disappointed. Go for the non-veg or the veg menu. If I had time, I would go back and try the veg menu. The Ananta at the Oberoi, Dehelvi cuisine. Thank you very much.
Monica, have you discovered Instagram yet?
Just slightly.
Mohammed is asking where to find you on Instagram.
Doindubai.com. Oh, no, just Doindubai. At and then Doindubai, no spaces. There's a picture of this Dehelvi iftar on there as well.
Super duper. We're going to come back.
Please follow. That's great.
There's two more iftars to talk about when we come back.
Food, the news and the reviews.
Monica's here from doindubai.com. Now, I've got a few text messages to get through. Shazli says, if you want the best Haleem, go to Daily Dubai Restaurant in Karama. They've been here since 1978. I love a long-established restaurant in Karama. You cannot get better than that. Mm-hmm. And Jibran has also been on and said, you mentioned Kashmiri apples. They are super delicious. I am from Kashmir.
Oh, that's nice.
I think you might be a little bit biased then, Jibran. I'm only joking. Brilliant. Thank you so much for all your text messages. Keep them coming in while we're here. No drive live likes to hear from you as well. We've got two more iftars to get through.
We have, yeah. We're talking regional iftars here. So we've spoken about the Dehelvi cuisine. We've got one from the Arab world, basically. So we're talking about places to take visitors to. Where would you say is another sort of iconic place in Dubai to take visitors to that's completely the opposite of town end? If you're going into the desert, what comes to mind?
Bab al-Shams.
Bab al-Shams, absolutely right. So we're going there. Where they invited us along to try the iftar. I went there at Christmas time and I loved it. It was such a great atmosphere. They'd done a kind of really good thing. It was Santa Claus coming along on a camel. But
yeah,
I hadn't...
People love that. I know a lot of people with families in our office often say, oh, we're going to the Christmas tree
event.
Lighting
yeah,
or whatever it
fantastic.
Is at Bab al-Shams.
Really good. So I've been to Bab al-Shams a few times, but I've not been to their Al Hadhira restaurant, which is where the iftar takes place every year, and that's the one that we went to. Has anyone been to that Al Hadhira?
No,
heard about it.
It's
all the sort of all the entertainment. So you go in there, and it's sort of on the side of the hotel, and you walk through what's sort of like a recreated old souk, where they're selling, sort of things that you'd perhaps see in the Madinat Jumeirah, but just on a kind of slightly more traditional scale, before you even get into the area where you start eating. So it's a great place to take visitors, and you're in the middle of nowhere, in the middle of the desert. And they had an awful lot of outdoor cooking going on, so lots of live stations where you had... You can imagine this as being an old-fashioned market, but of course it's not old-fashioned. Spits with chickens roasting on them, grills, sort of long sikhs, we call them, with kebabs stuck on them, and chicken tikkas and things like that, all over, all Arabic style, Middle Eastern style. It was obviously quite hot because you've got all the live cooking going on and all the kind of heat coming off of the
and you're outside?
The things. The food that you go and get is outside, but you eat in this enormous, quite spectacular air air-conditioned tent. So you just have to sort of bear it enough to go out and get your food and get as much food as you like. Sort of, and their waiters are super efficient. They will clear your plates away immediately, so you can have your little starters, your salad, your whatever you want in whatever order that you want it. So what fascinated me, and again, this is there's a kind of load of clips on Instagram or the Do and Dubai YouTube channel, was another very, very iconic dish called uzi. We know what uzi is? Yes?
We have had this lesson before.
Okay, so you will know. Tell me what uzi is.
Tell her, Michelle.
In the Arab, in the Arab world.
I wasn't here for the lesson, so do tell me, Monica, because right. Okay, so I can see Steph not
yes.
remember.
Okay, well, I'll let her off. I'll let her off.
You.
So uzi, like we were talking about halim earlier, uzi is
rice.
It's rice with meat. So it's a rice with a lamb, basically, that's served at banquets. It's
of
served
course.
At very... Exactly.
I'm not even joking now. I definitely know.
You know what it is. So you know what it is. It's like the sort of whole baby lamb that you need to give them notice to do. But it's a de rigueur to have at good Middle Eastern Arabic iftars. It's sort of like a kind of, you know, a test of a good meal. A good chef is, can you do a good uzi? And it's very, very popular and it's expected. So what was interesting about the uzi that was being... So normally you see a sort of big vat, almost the size of this circular pod that we've got in the middle of the studio. And it's rice and meat going on. But this, because it's so huge, was on a pulley system, and the chef was actually winding it down into the ground in a giant tandoor to keep it warm, finish cooking it 7 hours and bringing it up again. So very, very interesting. And everything in between, 250 dirhams. I think normally that's quite a pricey restaurant, so again, a good way of trying a fairly upmarket pricey restaurant for a very reasonable price. 250 dirhams during the week, but not during the weekend. That's okay. Al Hadira Bubble Shams.
We're going to stick everyone back in the car and we're going to drive them all the way back into town to the Sofitel.
We are. So it's, which Sofitel are we at? Does anyone know?
I'm going to say downtown.
Downtown. So that's actually nearer you, isn't it? So Sofitel downtown. It's got some very interesting restaurants there. One of the newer ones, I think it's been open sort of like a month or 2 months or something, is called Al Mayas. Beautiful sounding name. It means falling leaves, and it actually specializes in Armenian food. It's not a new restaurant in inception. They've got a branch in New York. I think they have one in Kuwait. Maybe a couple of other places in the GCC as well, and they've got one here in Dubai. So I thought, okay, this is just going to be another Middle Eastern iftar. You walk in and it's one of those very kind of not old-fashioned in a bad way. It's old-fashioned in a, oh, this is supposed to be old-fashioned. It's sort of the large oversized chairs, older pieces of furniture, but very funky bits of art as well, some sort of blue glass roses that are in the middle, very colorful things. So we're having Armenian cuisine here. And if I can just pick out a couple of things, they've got a particular sort of lots of hot meze cold salad, which we're all very familiar with, but something called each, which is pronounced I-T-C-H. Any idea, anyone?
I'm going to say fish.
Nope. This is one for you because it's,
so wrong
it's vegetarian.
Today.
I think it's an Armenian special vegetable.
It is not a vegetable as it comes out of the ground.
A lot of bases covered there.
it's a wheat. It's a sort of Bulgar wheat thing, like we'd have tabbouleh with the wheat, but it's with a very tangy tomato sauce, and it's a classic thing, quite new to me. And I thought, oh, that's very nice. It's a sort of different sort of cold meze. And then you have all your sort of usual mezes. But then another very Armenian thing, which was very new to me and we really, really liked. I didn't eat that. My friend who ate beef ate that. But the lamb that I had was very good. Were sort of kebabs made of beef kebabs, kofta kebabs. You have them, the minced on the skewers. But the sauce, and we were talking about chocolate before, was cherries. It was a dark cherry sauce. You could see the cherries all over it. There's a picture of it on our blog as well. And that, again, is a very typical Armenian dish and a way of serving it as well. And also the regions that sort of border Armenia. So an interesting restaurant, one that you don't really want to rush away from because it's very comfortable. If you've got some relatives in town, you know, not kind of like the young, funky, modern, contemporary, this is not that. It's older, step back in time, but not fuddy-duddy, but old world elegance, I would say. Interesting iftar, yeah. Armenian side of town.
I think the youngsters love that these days, don't they?
I liked it. I thought it was very comfortable. Large tables, you're not squashed. It was very interesting. 185 dirhams, that includes all the taxes. And it's a new restaurant. It's also open at lunchtime. So if you didn't want to go for the iftar, you can go try these couple of cold mezes and maybe share the kebabs with the cherries to try that. Very interesting bread, fantastic service as well. And oh my goodness, the coffee and pastries. I haven't put that picture up anywhere. Was just, you know, if you want to sit down, have, it's a thing of mine, proper sugar lumps in a bowl, but not the little square ones, the misshapen dark brown sugar, the white sugar in a bowl, not that I have sugar, with a really gorgeous cup of coffee and a big plate of pastries. Delicious.
You know,
that's the place to have it.
Every single place that I go with my dad, when he gets that little container with the sugar lumps in, he gets really, really mad about them being mixed in together.
What, brown and white?
Yep, because he believes that people will have to pick through with their fingers to get to the colour that they want.
Well, you can use a spoon.
He hates
that.
He's just little tongs. Little tongs.
Yeah, little tongs or a spoon.
It's his thing. Honestly, I must hear about it 20 times every time I go home to visit.
Well, I'd rather that than packets of sugar in a fancy restaurant. Yeah. You think, oh my goodness, what are you doing with these packets of branded sugar? Just take those away. Or don't have sugar. That's best.
We're going to let Mariam have the last word today on the ticket. She's texting affordable01 and says, Halim is made of meat without bone, which is cooked with gravy, then different lentils, rice, wheat, oats and boiled. And then meat and gravy boiled stuff is combined and grinded. Very delicious, very healthy.
Yeah.
And we especially love it in Karachi. It's like a feast to us. Mariam, thank you.
That's it, absolutely. I won't be here over the next couple of months because I'm on holiday. But if anyone wants to follow on Instagram, I am in Kenya, London and Norway, and bringing back some foodie adventures for you, hopefully.
Have a fantastic time. We'll see you after the summer.
Thank you.
Food, the news and the reviews.